Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. Let's set the stage for week number 7 of the National Football League as we get ready for a new weekend in the NFL. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That would be Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi, it got started on a Thursday night out in the desert, did NFL week number 7, but it really didn't start, Joe, in week 7 with a bang just because of what we saw from a points perspective between the Cardinals and the Saints. It was the trade news that we have entering week 7. The fire sale is on in Charlotte. The Carolina Panthers have traded Christian McCaffrey, Joe Lisi, to the San Francisco 49ers. What was your reaction when you saw that news late on a Thursday night?
No, I was on air, and we talked about, you know, potentially San Francisco now being the most complete team in the NFC West, right? I mean, L.A. Rams not playing all that great. We saw the product last night in terms of Arizona and New Orleans, in terms of Kyler Murray, the inconsistency still with the offense in the first half. And at the end of the day, you know what you have with Seattle. They can score but can't stop anybody. So this gives Jimmy Garoppolo an added weapon, another running back to utilize fresh legs in that ballgame, and in matchups moving on in terms of the second half of the season, and provides explosiveness in terms of the rushing game and the short to intermediate passing game, which potentially could make Deebo Samuel even have a huge or a more impactful added dimension to that offense. So I think that's what it's all about for Kyle Shanahan and his quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo.
Joe, I think it's a great point, right? That is the optimism behind this move. One of the most versatile offensive pieces in the National Football League in Christian McCaffrey, not just a running back, but what he can do out of the backfield in the passing game as well, paired with one of the best offensive play callers and offensive minds that we have in the NFL circles in Kyle Shanahan. That group together, that duo, could they do outstanding offensive things? And then you add CMC to one of the other best dynamic playmakers offensively in Deebo Samuel, and Brandon Ayuk taking that leap this year. And George Kittle still remains, when not banged up, one of the best tight ends in all of football. It's all of that together with Jimmy G that I think has that optimism. But Joe, it's a big we're buying in right now, win now mentality for San Francisco, because in return for Christian McCaffrey, they send the Panthers a second, third, and fourth round draft pick for this upcoming draft in 2023, and then a fifth rounder next year, Joe, in 2024. Not a first rounder, but that's really not what a running back is going to demand at this stage, but a ton of trade assets still heading back to Carolina. How would you grade the trade from that perspective?
Well, I think it provides depth, right, for Carolina. That's what they need. They have no offense or identity right now as a ball club, right? They try to go with Matt Corral last year. He got hurt, so they don't even have a quarterback in the future that you could say, oh, yeah, it's going to be Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or Corral. At the end of the day, you need quality players that can add and provide value on all levels. So it's the interior line. It's the linebackers, the nickelbacks, the secondary players. That's where you're going to build your roster, and then hopefully in the upcoming draft you could steal maybe a lightning in a bottle and get a marquee franchise quarterback. So again, at the end of the day, they're in a complete rebuild, and from the gambling aspect, how can you back this team the rest of the way, because you don't know what you're going to get? There's going to be guys that are going to be checked out, at least the better ones that are still on the roster, and the younger players are still raw with no coaching staff to coach them up. So complete shambles for the Carolina Panthers in the second half of the year.
I don't think it's just Christian McCaffrey either, right? I think DJ Moore is probably on the move. You can look across the roster, maybe Brian Burns on the defensive side of the football, one of the more talented edge rushers in the National Football League as well. Robbie Anderson already traded, but that was for different reasons than just the talent that he can bring back. But Joe, that is the idea. Now San Francisco is investing heavily into this year, winning a national championship, winning a Super Bowl championship this year. And we saw that reflected in the odds, Joe. Plus 850 yesterday to win the NFC crown. Tied for the fourth best price with the Dallas Cowboys. Now take $2 off that number for San Francisco. They move up to third by themselves at plus 650. Still behind the Eagles, who are the favorites, and the Bucks, who have the second best price at 5-1. But Joe, the market reflecting the optimism that is the hope for this trade for Run CMC.
Yeah, that's what it is, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you want, San Francisco got a playmaker. He was rumored to go to Buffalo. He was rumored to go to some other contenders. And even if you have a crowded backfield, Ben, you have one of the most dynamic, versatile players that you take away from maybe your competition, right? If we're looking long-term for Kyle Shanahan, it's not just their team. It's let's make sure one of those teams in the AFC doesn't nab him.
Yeah, that would be what we're talking about here, Joe. It's a really good point. So as we look forward, and we'll discuss a little bit more from Thursday night football, Christian McCaffrey should line up for San Francisco this upcoming Sunday in limited capacity in the red zone offense against the Kansas City Chiefs. Currently, the Chiefs, a 2.5-point road favorite in Santa Clara. Plenty more to come on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Football Full Circle. A huge Saturday slate in college football awaits as well. We've gone through some of the marquee matchups. The game out in the Pac-12 inside Autzen in Eugene between the Ducks and the Bruins. A top 10 tilt for UCLA and Oregon. What is ahead in the Big 12? And of course, a bounce back response expected for Alabama in the SEC. The ACC, an unbeaten battle between Syracuse and Clemson. So, Lisi, let's dive through some of the other games that will bring our attention to this Saturday slate. Ohio State, the number two team in the country, the favorites to win a national championship, off of the bye, Joe, back in action this week in Columbus, inside the Shoe, hosting Iowa. You've seen this spread, I'm sure. It's more than four touchdowns in favor of the Buckeyes. 29.5 is that number now in favor of Ohio State, with a total, Joe, that's only 49 in a hook. What is your expectation for this matchup between the Hawkeyes and the Buckeyes?
An ugly game, and that's the only way Iowa could be well within this number, which I believe they will be. The extra week of preparation, I think, will benefit the road team in this environment. Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa Hawkeyes have absolutely nothing to play for. Last game, they lost to Illinois, and Brett Bielema's a 3.5-point underdog, catching four touchdowns. I think they could potentially be live in the sense of maybe they lose by 17 to 20 points. I think they run the football, shorten the game, and I think their defense, even though not a elite, as we know, could still devise a game plan the way Notre Dame did to force CJ Stroud into one of these ugly games. I know Michigan State got abused, but we know that Michigan State entering that ballgame, at least last year, right, had the worst secondary basically in all of college football, and they were starting to get exposed with the loss to Washington, and every week they got a little worse, right? That's not the case with Iowa, Ben. So I think they run it, get them into an ugly ballgame. It won't be a pretty watch. But I think Iowa will be well within the 29.5 tomorrow afternoon.
I want to believe you, Joe. I do. This is the largest spread the Iowa Hawkeyes have seen in the past two decades. The only one that was anywhere near four touchdowns was in the year 2000 for Iowa. You're right. The strength of Iowa, of course, is that defense, because the offense is abysmal. The Iowa Hawkeyes have the third best scoring defense in the country, only allowing 9.8 points per game, and they have the third best passing defense as well, Joe, in all of CFB. They're only giving up a 154 through the air. That is needed against an Ohio State team that is really, really good. One of the best total offenses in the country, and of course, the best scoring offense in all of college football. But Joe, Iowa hasn't seen an offense at the level that Ohio State can throw the football all year long. Michigan is good, but Michigan's still more so on the ground than other areas. You can see what is expected of this game. It's a 29.5-point spread with a 49.5-point over-under. That means the scoring is only happening from one side. Think about the score, Joe. What the final tally would have to be for Ohio State to cover and this game to stay under. 38-3. 35-3, you're going to see very little from the Iowa Hawkeyes. At least that is the expectation from the odds, because despite the fact that Iowa has the third best scoring defense, they have the fourth worst scoring offense in all of college football. And Joe, here's the big thing on the Buckeyes, in my estimation. I have said it all year long. It is the reason Ohio State was my pick in the preseason to win a national championship. It's why you bring in a defensive coordinator in Jim Knowles. If the Buckeyes defense was top 15, which Ryan Day charged them to be this year, and then Jim Knowles said, we want to be a top five unit, they were going to play at least in the national championship game. Well, Ohio State, a top 10 total defense, a top 10 scoring defense, a top 15 rushing defense, and a top 7 passing defense as well. Joe, this Buckeyes team can play some defense as well as the offense can score. I'm not so sure Iowa can score more than a touchdown in this game, which means you are going to need to limit Ohio State's offense to anything less than 28 points to keep this game within margin. I'm just not sure that's possible either.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to take some shots. And we always talk about breaking tendency in big matchups, right? Yep. We saw it with Texas A&M and Alabama. I mean, you know, the A&M offense was not hitting on all cylinders. I understand they have athletes, but at the end of the day, they found a way to put up 20 points on Alabama's defense. Now, we know it's not the same defense as it was in years past, but same thing with Ohio State. Is there the potential look ahead with Penn State on deck next week, October 29th? That's always a concern. And at the end of the day, if Iowa does take 8 minutes off the opening drive and kicks a field goal, or let's just say they don't get anything, now right. Now all of a sudden it's game on. It's going to look like an Army-Navy type of game where, you know, just take it into the fourth quarter and it's anybody's matchup. So I think that's the recipe. Again, styles make fights. If right. Ohio State does play and allow themselves to get into that type of game, Iowa can steal it from the spread perspective, and that's what I'm banking on.
Right, and that's a really good point too, Joe. Like the spread perspective, the limited opportunity Ohio State might have, even if Iowa only scores a field goal at the end of a 7.5-minute drive, you're still taking time away from Ohio State. So maybe having that time of possession battle be closer for the Hawkeyes, knowing how quick strike that Buckeyes offense can be, that's big for Iowa to keep this game within margin. By no means is Joe Lisi even backing the Hawks as a 29.5-point underdog. I think insinuating they are going to win this football game outright, but it is that perspective of covering now more than a 4-touchdown spread. How different things look for the Iowa Hawkeyes at this time than they did at this time just a season ago. All right, Joe, let's keep diving through the country here. An interesting game for Notre Dame around that 4-touchdown spread as well. It has been a struggle for Marcus Freeman in his debut year in South Bend. The Irish, a 26.5-point favorite against UNLV back in South Bend on Saturday afternoon, Joe. Can Notre Dame get right? Can Notre Dame respond? And mainly, can they cover a 4-touchdown number?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. I think it seems, you know, very high for Notre Dame, considering they lost to Marshall, considering how they lost to Stanford last week. But at the end of the day, you just look at the UNLV defense. They were absolutely ripped last week as a 10-point dog by Air Force, right? They gave up 262 yards in the first half on the ground. Mm-hmm. We know that the physicality of Notre Dame's offensive line, I'm not expecting a lot out of the passing game, but they shouldn't have to do anything. Just line up and play great. Grown man football and force UNLV to just match you mano a mano. The fact that they're playing back-to-back home games, the fact that they got abused in a primetime atmosphere by Stanford, who didn't win an FBS game all year. I mean, at the end of the day, I hope Freeman has them up. If you're ever going to back Notre Dame with a big spread, I believe this is the game to do it. I think they roll over the running Rebs here.
Joe, it's such a funny point here, too, because you mentioned what Stanford was able to do last week. No FBS wins outside of beating Notre Dame this year. Marshall, the team that upset the Irish earlier this season, no FBS wins outside of beating Notre Dame. It's crazy to see how far Notre Dame has fallen against some of these teams. Listen, it's the first year with Marcus Freeman. He was not expected to be the head coach this year, at least when last year ended. Brian Kelly left like that. And people are questioning Marcus Freeman. Is he deserving of this job? I'm not going to go there. I think he's going to be a very successful head coach in South Bend. He needs to figure out some pieces in place, but he's also one heck of a recruiter. I still believe in what Marcus Freeman could do. Can they cover 26.5? It would not be a bet that I would wager on right now. All right, as we keep going, Joe, Tulane now ranked in the top 25 for the first time in a very long time. I think the first time since 1998. There were 7.5-point favorites Saturday afternoon in an interesting game in the American against Memphis. We're trying to figure out who's going to win the American this year. It's a 55.5-point total for Tulane, one of the best defenses in the country, Joe. Can the Green Wave keep it rolling?
I think they can. I mean, you mentioned the front seven giving up 132 yards on the ground. Sharp is a dynamic running back that could also catch the football out of the backfield. They got gutty road wins, including one against Houston a couple of weeks ago. I like their quarterback. I like their head coach in Willie Fritz. At the end of the day, I think they're a team. I was a little ahead of them, Ben, a couple of years ago, and last year when they covered against Oklahoma. I think they get it done laying 7.5.
They're a top 15 defensive passing team, and they're a top 15 defensive scoring team as well. Look at the total of that game at 55 in a hook against Memphis on Saturday. We'll come back here on Football Full Circle. We keep it rolling to set you up for the weekend long on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on FFC. Week 7 of the NFL season is on the horizon. Let's run through the slate. That's what we will do here on Football Full Circle all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. The big news, of course, Joe, Christian McCaffrey finding a new home with the San Francisco 49ers. They host the Chiefs as a 2.5-point underdog on Sunday. CMC expected to play in a little bit of the game. Probably just red zone packages. It's a simplified offense down there. But the big question for San Francisco, a dinged up defense facing the best scoring offense in the NFL in the Chiefs, averaging more than 29 points per game. But Joe, let's go look around the NFL at some other spots. In fact, at Christian McCaffrey's former team. They're now a 13-point underdog at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Joe, if there was tanking in the National Football League, this would be what Carolina is currently doing. 38.5 is that point total between the Bucs and the Panthers. Joe, can Carolina muster up anything to keep this game close?
I don't know. The spread was 10.5 about, what, 8 hours ago, 9 hours ago? Yeah. Absolutely not. I can't take Carolina in this type of situation. Again, I don't know the mindset. I thought if you were going to get any type of cover, it would have happened last week on the road in L.A., and that was a very difficult matchup because L.A. was coming off the loss to the Dallas Cowboys. Played good for a half, and then outside of that in the fourth quarter, they just let it all slip. And at the end of the day, I think that's the matchup here with Tom Brady. You get the same type of situation. Brady and the Bucs back-to-back road games. They lost as an 8.5-point favorite. If you're ever going to get Tom Brady's bounce-back spot, isn't it here? Yeah. I mean, if it doesn't happen here, then we have to start thinking about selling the Bucs the rest of the way. So I can only look to Tampa Bay, and I would say, you know what? I would probably lean to the over because Tampa Bay, I think, will look to throttle Carolina. And what are you going to get from a defensive perspective out of the Panthers here?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Joe, people are questioning Tom Brady's commitment. People are questioning if Tom Brady is going to retire before this year is out if things continue to struggle for the Bucs. You don't want to piss off Tom Brady. You don't want to scorn Tom Brady. How many times do we need to learn this? We don't need to predict when it is over for TB12. If it is over, just watch it play out. Stop trying to predict it because that's when Tom feels like he is an underdog, which is a crazy thing, and plays his best football. I think we will see something of the sort against Carolina, Joe. I jumped in as I was preparing for my bets for this Week 7 slate on the Panthers team total under, even with Christian McCaffrey a part of the lineup. It was 13.5 on Thursday afternoon. I jumped in. It's now 12.5, and it might drop by the time we get to game time. It's a very low number. NFL teams, even the worst of them, can score two touchdowns. But the Carolina Panthers only scored 10 last week against the L.A. Rams. It's still P.J. Walker getting the start for this Panthers offense. They don't have Christian McCaffrey. Who knows what D.J. Moore's motivation is going to be if they even suit him up, potentially. We have no idea, Joe. No idea. And if you've watched any Panthers football the last couple of weekends, even with CMC out there, who, by the way, has had five straight games of over 100 scrimmage yards, so he's still producing at a very high level, they've averaged only 13.7 points per game the last 3 weeks. And the Bucs still have the fifth-best scoring defense in the National Football League, and their number is slightly skewed by the 41 they gave up to the Chiefs. The Bucs have held two of their six opponents this year under this number of 13.5. In fact, 10 points or less, and two more opponents, the Packers and the Falcons, just 14 and 15. I think the Panthers stay under that number, Joe. That's the way I would look at this game. Speaking of wide receivers, with the last name of Moore, speaking of totals that are around 38.5, Joe, some news out of New York this past week. The Jets' second-year wide receiver, Elijah Moore, out of Ole Miss, who had a really good rookie year with Zach Wilson by all accords, has now requested a trade from the organization. Not happy with how he is being utilized in this offense for the Jets, who are a 4-2 football team. Robert Saleh saying at the end of this week that Elijah Moore will not play on Sunday in the Mile High City against the Denver Broncos. But, Joe, when we look at this game specifically, it's just a one-point spread in favor of the Broncos. And on that money line, it's minus 118 Denver, even money for New York at plus 100. Joe, the Jets have been booked as an underdog all year long, and they've won four games outright. Can they make it a fifth?
They can, but I don't think they will. I think the fact that it's a short number, the fact that it is Denver at home, I think they match up well in this type of situation with the New York Jets. Not to take anything away from Saleh and what Zach Wilson has done in that offense. It's back-to-back road games for the Jets as well. I think the altitude will be a factor, and I think at the end of the day, I just think the offense and defensive line play, as bad as Denver's offensive line has played at periods of time, I still think they have an advantage over the New York Jets defensive front. I think they grind out anywhere from like a 3 to 7 point win and cover this number. 1.5 is so low. If you're ever going to take a favorite at home, this is the opportunity coming off a loss. So I like Denver in this spot here.
There's still that expectation that somehow, some way, Joe, the Broncos figure it out. What it out means, I'm not entirely sure. I don't think it is the same level of expectation we had for a Broncos team that was favored to make the postseason before this year got underway. But not playing just dismal football each and every week, especially offensively. I just don't know if it happens this week. Russell Wilson has been banged up all week, not at practice. Brett Rippon's been out there as the one running with the number one offense, Joe. I think this Jets team is for real. I think they can win football games. I think they are a pesky side. I would look at gangrene here. I don't think I'm going to bet this game because I don't feel strongly about it, but I would still look at the Jets. Joe, speaking of those New York football teams that are booked as underdogs, the Giants, a 3-point dog in Duval County against the Jaguars. You stare at this number, a 5-1 New York team against a 2-4 Jacksonville team. The Jags are at home, sure, but they're the ones laying 3 points. Joe, what does that line say to you? Because to me, it screams, better beware if you want to back the underdog in Big Blue.
Yeah, I don't know. I have mixed feelings with this game, and I'll lean to the, you know, just the way the New York Giants are playing. They have an identity. They understand what they do and what they don't do correctly or good in terms of an offensive perspective, and I just think they have more veterans right now than the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the way the coaching staff makes adjustments at halftime, you got to respect that. Again, I think that you can run on the Jags. I mean, obviously, Indianapolis came from behind last week. They played a very good ball game, but I still like Saquon. I like the way the offense and defensive lines are playing for New York. Don't love Daniel Jones. That aside, he hasn't turned the football over as much, right? And that carries well in a road atmosphere and environment. Going up against Trevor Lawrence, I like the Giants here. It's not one of my better picks for the weekend, but I would lean to the New York Giants on the road because of their ability to run the football and force turnovers. I think that'll carry well in Duval County.
Joe, it's almost like the odds makers say what the narrative is here, right? A lot of people have questioned the New York Giants despite winning five of their six football games, covering in all five of those, four of them outright as an underdog. It's felt like at times, at least the public perception is, the New York Giants have been doing it with smoke and mirrors. They're not winning these football games in the most impressive and outstanding performances, yet wins are wins. So the expectation then is they have to come back down to earth, and this is that opportunity for it. I don't think you want to jump in front of it. This number, if it was 3.5, I'd be all over the Giants, all over them. I don't know necessarily, though, with it being at 3, at least you have the push potential there in Jacksonville. An interesting game between the Jaguars and the Giants on Sunday afternoon. Speaking of underdogs, and speaking of very, very good cover teams, Joe Lisi, the best cover team in the National Football League, the only unbeaten team against the spread, the Atlanta Falcons, a perfect 6-0 ATS, a 100% cover percentage, take a 6.5-point spread working against them. They are the dogs on the road in Cincinnati this upcoming Sunday. Joe, we've referenced this game a few times this week, and you have said, all right, when can we find that place in the market to bet against Atlanta, to predict when this cover trend is going to end? Because at a certain point, it must. Even the best cover teams aren't going 17-0 against the number, especially when booked as an underdog in all of those games. Do you think this is that time, Joe, on Sunday in Cincinnati?
Yes, I've convinced myself. They get boat raced this weekend in Cincinnati. I think Joey Silk, Jamar Chase, start where they left off last week, where they absolutely ripped New Orleans defense in the second half. Jamar Chase with 132 receiving yards, two big touchdown passes, and I think that's the game plan for attacking Atlanta. Let's look at some of the teams that Atlanta played recently. Tampa Bay's offense wasn't consistent, right? They scored early, but they couldn't get and challenge Atlanta over the top, right? Cleveland, inconsistent passing game with Jacoby Brissett. This is one of the top passing games now over the past couple of weeks in terms of Joe Burrow. I like what he's doing. He has confidence. They have their identity back, and they're playing with house money. The fact that they won that ball game and never lost their composure in the second half shows me something. I think they take it to the Atlanta Falcons this coming Sunday.
Joe, it's a really good point about what Cincy is now doing offensively. They seem like they are playing better football on that side of it. The Atlanta Falcons, despite the fact they are 3-3 straight up, tied for the top spot in the NFC South, and a perfect 6-0 against the spread, do have the second worst passing defense in the NFL, giving up more than 281 yards per game. Joe Burrow threw for 300 yards last week, 132 of them to Jamar Chase, and he threw for three touchdowns, and two of them went to Jamar Chase. If you don't want to back the Bengals on the number, certainly look out in the prop department for what that will be for Cincy on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. A 6.5-point spread as well, Joe, in favor of another AFC North team, the Baltimore Ravens against the Cleveland Browns. Three losses this year for Baltimore. All three of them, Baltimore has held a double-digit lead at the bare minimum in those football games, and yet somehow they're not closing out football games. I'll get Joe's take on this, but on the other side of the break, the Flock need to figure something out in terms of just closing out games. Pay attention to the injury report for Baltimore and Cleveland. We'll discuss it up next here, live on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. We'll continue our preview of Week 7 of the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on Football Full Circle. Joe, as we're previewing the Week 7 slate here in the National Football League, for your Sunday, we were breaking down a game in Baltimore between the Ravens and the Browns. It's a 6.5-point spread in favor of the Flock at home on Sunday, a total at 45.5. I was bringing up this point, Joe. Baltimore has three losses this year. They're an even 500, 3-3. In all three of those losses, Baltimore has held at least a double-digit lead in all of them. And the two that came at home, Joe, Baltimore was up by three scores. Not just double digits, but three scores, and yet they've lost those football games outright. So, Lisi, what is the biggest issue with Baltimore in your mind in terms of being able to close out these football games and pick up a victory?
It's the defense. I mean, it's not the offense. The offense is scoring points. It's the defense can't shut down anybody and get off the field on third downs. They allowed Marcus Mariota 2 weeks ago to rip them in the last 4 minutes of the ball game when he only had, at that particular time, 70 yards passing. They're getting abused in terms of the rushing attack. The front seven isn't stepping up in run support. And until that changes, they're not going to consistently win games. Now, up against Baltimore, catching the 6.5 in the ball game, it's do or die now for Jacoby Brissett and the offense. I think they can ground it and pound it right down Baltimore's throat just the way the Giants did, and they might not win, but I'm definitely thinking they cover the 6.5 point number. I think the loss might be 1-2 or a field goal at the most in this matchup.
I would keep an eye on the injury report for this game, what it looks like for the Ravens offensively, especially in that backfield alongside Lamar Jackson. The Browns have struggled. They gave up nearly 180 yards on the ground to the New England Patriots last weekend in a loss where the Pats went into Cleveland and won big, and I mean big, 38-15 outright as a 2.5 point underdog. The Patriots play on Monday night, Joe, so we'll focus on that when we get back next week. But let's go now to Washington. The Commanders hosting the Packers. A 4.5 point spread, Joe, in favor of Green Bay. If you were to have booked this game before the year got started, this is probably a touchdown, at least, right? But the Packers have struggled tremendously. Just 3-3 this year. The offense is stale. The ninth worst scoring offense in the National Football League, only averaging about 18 points per game. The Commanders, the fifth worst scoring offense in the National Football League as well. So, Joe, when you look at this matchup between the Packers and Commanders, it almost feels like for Green Bay, something's got to give. They either have to figure it out or we need to change our evaluation of the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers this season. Do you think the Pack can go on a road and cover this 4.5 point spread?
I think they can. If you watch this game last year, Taylor Heinicke that got the start, right? He moved the football on the front seven, and Aaron Rodgers just took it away in the second half of that ballgame. They pulled away. I think by 10 or 12 points, they were laying a short number in that ballgame. But at the end of the day, I don't know where the Packers are. The issue is with Taylor Heinicke, I think he could have success against the Green Bay defense. Now, this line seems fishy to me, right? I mean, You talk about Green Bay that lost back-to-back games. Just not no covers. They lost outright to the Jets and Giants and got abused. Now they're laying 5.5. It's scary, but I would close my eyes with Aaron Rodgers. I think the over is going to come in. I don't love it, but I would lay it with Aaron Rodgers. They have no identity either outside of Devontae Adams moving on. They need to find their mojo. Look for them to throw the football early and often here. I think they negate the running game. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers here one last time. Third time, hopefully, is a charm.
Absolutely so, Joe. I'm with you. I'm all about it. This is my favorite side of the weekend. Week number 7, very difficult in the NFL to have the discernible edges when it comes to betting a side in the National Football League. For me, it's pretty simple. Again, either Green Bay goes on the road and covers this number, not just wins by a field goal, covers this 4.5 point spread that I think is slightly depressed in a discounted number, or I'm going to think the Packers stink the rest of the year. They're just 1-3 against the spread when booked as a favorite so far in 2022, but the Commanders 0-3 against the number as an underdog this year. Joe, we're dealing with some buys across the National Football. We're into that bye week. Two of the best teams in both conferences, Philly, Buffalo, on the bye this week, and some teams returning from that off week as well. To one-win football team, surprisingly, Joe, maybe for one side at least, the Las Vegas Raiders, 1-4 against the Houston Texans, 1-3-1. Right now, Joe, Vegas, a 7-point home favorite in the desert on Sunday afternoon. Can Las Vegas not only get another win this year, Joe, but cover this touchdown spread?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, I like Las Vegas to bounce back. This is another opportunity for them to get right. Their first 4 or 5 ball games were very difficult. This is an opportunity to really showcase their talent. I think Devontae Adams breaks out, even though he has the off-the-field situation now with the cameraman. Derek Carr, I think, breaks out in a big way. And I think the running game, too. You know, I think the physicality of the offensive line could wear down Houston. I don't see any way the Texans cover this number. I'm back in Las Vegas. And again, I like this total, too, over the 45.5 Sunday afternoon at 4.
Joe, I'm going to look at another total that our good friend Joe Pisapia on the morning after this week really gave me that I liked. 42 is the number. Oh, 42. Something was wrong when I looked at that. All right, never mind. It's 48.5 between Detroit and Dallas. I thought I saw 42 earlier. That's why the number made no sense to me. All right, 48.5, though, still for the Lions and the Cowboys. Dallas, a 7-point favorite at home, Joe. The expectation is Dak Prescott is back in this football game as the starter at quarterback for the Cowboys. They're a touchdown favorite. To me, Joe, that's a clear indication Dak will be there. He obviously changes the handicapping for the Dallas Cowboys, but how does he change your feel, Joe, around this Dallas team in this matchup against the Lions?
Well, they're going to attack Detroit over the top. I mean, look for this offense to be more explosive. Look for the secondary, the running game to have a secondary approach in this matchup. I don't think they look to ground and pound Detroit early. I think they utilize Dak's arm, open up the passing game, and then utilize Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott. I think that's how they're going to loosen up the Detroit front seven. That's exactly how Seattle was able to do it and some of the other teams that beat Detroit this season. So I think it's status quo in that regard. I think this game goes sails through the 48.5, and I could lean to the Cowboys here. I don't see Detroit keeping it in the touchdown. I just don't think they're there just yet, but we'll see how it plays out. I would lean Dallas, but like the over 48.5 as the best bet in this ballgame.
I like the look, Joe, and that's although I completely missed what the total was somehow, some way. I don't know where I saw 42. I'm trying to figure that out right now. But 48.5 even, Joe, when you have the Detroit Lions, the worst scoring defense in the National Football League, giving up 34 points per game on average, they're giving up 34 points per game. If Dallas gets close to that average that Detroit is giving up, let's say high 20s, low 30s, they might push this total to the over by themselves. They're more than halfway there if they just put up 31 points, and I think the Lions are still going to score, although I really like Dallas's defense and what they've been able to do so far this year. So yes, I look at the over. I look at Dak making a point if he is healthy. My only concern, Joe, in terms of the total and maybe the Cowboys in general, it's his right throwing thumb. And the reason I think, not that he's been delayed by any means, this is around the timeline of his return that we all expected, but when you're trying to grip a football, when you're trying to spin the football needed effectively to hit those tight windows in the NFL, the thumb needs to be completely there. And that's what they've been working through at the Star. I would just make sure that he is ready to go, and then I'm ready for that 48.5. All right, an AFC South showdown in Nashville. The Titans, Joe, a 2.5-point favorite against the Indianapolis Colts. A low total here, just 41.5. We expect Jonathan Taylor to return for Indianapolis. He was a full participant at practice on Thursday afternoon. What does that do for Indy, Joe, in this big AFC South showdown? Because Tennessee already went on the road just 3 weekends ago and beat those Colts in Indy.
Yeah, I think it continues. I like Tennessee here. I'm not sold on in terms of Indianapolis as a whole, even if Jonathan Taylor comes back. I thought they should have lost last week. I thought Jacksonville would play them tough, and they did. At the end of the day, I'm still buying into the fact that Tennessee, in my opinion, best team in their half of the division in the South. I think they have the best offensive line, best defensive front. I like the fact that Derrick Henry's getting involved more in the offense. I think he could get potentially 150 yards through the air and on the ground in this ballgame. And I'm not sold on the secondary of Indy right now. We've seen teams challenge them over the top. This is not an elite defense, and they fall behind in this ballgame. Do you have confidence in Matt Ryan, even though they came from behind at home last week? Do we have you do? I don't.
I do.
I don't.
Okay, let me provide the caveat here, Joe. I don't have confidence maybe in Matt Ryan going to win a football game outright. I have confidence in Matt Ryan throwing the football a crap ton. He threw the ball 58 times last week. 58 times. He's 37 or 38. His arm might fall off before this year is done in Indianapolis. But although Jonathan Taylor, Joe, is back, I still look at this game, and the weakness of the Titans' defense is their passing defense. In fact, they are the worst passing defense in all of the NFL, giving up north of 287 yards per game. So, yes, JT is back. Yes, that is going to change the offensive outlook for Indianapolis. But with that being said, an area of attack for Indy is still throwing the football. And, yes, JT wasn't there when he threw the ball 58 times last week, but he has been there earlier this season. And Matt Ryan is still averaging 42.2 passing attempts per game this year. His number is not out there. It's going to be high. It's going to be 36.5. I still love the over. He's thrown the football 37 or more times in 5 of their 6 games.
Mm. You see, I just don't buy
like
into.
Don't mean like that.
It's great stats. I love the stats. You know me. I'm all about the analytics. I just think that here's the thing. I think that the front seven of Tennessee can get a push, pressure Matt Ryan, and that's where I think they hold the advantage. And then on the flip side, just not sold. And watching that first game in Indy, they weren't able to contain Derrick Henry. And now a couple of games later, he seems to be in mid-season form. And I think that's where Tennessee has the advantage. Yeah, it's a divisional game, so it's going to be close. It's just that I lean to Tennessee playing at home because I like Vrabel. I think they're the more complete team out of both of these teams. And again, I have more confidence in Henry and Tannehill and Vrabel than I do Ryan, Taylor, and Reich. And that's the way it comes down to in terms of this matchup. I've been on Tennessee from the start. I have to think that they get this victory at home in their backyard, even though Indy has played them fairly tough over the past couple of years.
The Titans are fresh. They are coming off of a bye. And, Joe, this game would certainly, if Tennessee wins at home, the Titans will be the favorite in the AFC South. There's no other way it could be possible. This is the fifth divisional game already for Indianapolis. They tied one against the Texans. They beat the Jags at home last week, but they lost to Jacksonville on the road earlier this year. They also lost to Tennessee at home in Indianapolis. If they lose this football game, Joe, they will be 1-3-1 in the division, and their two of their three losses, they will have been swept in the season series against the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee will jump to the favored side. So if you like Tennessee here, also look at the Titans in the market. They're plus 160 right now, the second best price behind the Colts, who are the favorites at plus 120. All right, keep going through the NFL here, Lisi. Let's focus on Sunday Night Football. The Miami Dolphins, a 7-point favorite at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a total of 45.5. Kenny Pickett has been at practice all week. Mike Tomlin said he would be out there, and he has. It, of course, is the return of Tua Tagovailoa for the Finns, Joe. 7 points, a touchdown in favor of Miami and South Beach on Sunday night. Your quick thoughts on this game.
Yeah, I'm going to lay it with Tua and the crew, and I like the over again. A lot of favorites in the overs, but I think that's how this game will play out.
Well, we saw a lot of dogs last weekend, Joe, and we've seen a lot of unders all year long in the National Football League, maybe bucking some of those trends this upcoming Sunday. Only one game we haven't hit on, Lisi. That's Seattle and Los Angeles. We'll touch on that as we round out the show. Up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We finish off Football Full Circle right here, right now. Joe, only one game in the NFL we haven't touched on just yet. Tons of buys around the league this week. And that last one, Lisi, is your Seattle Seahawks, a 3-3 football team currently entering this weekend, tied for the top spot in the NFC West. They're a 5-point underdog on the road in Los Angeles against the Chargers on Sunday. And Joe, when you look at this Seahawks team, all three of their wins this year outright as an underdog, can they make it 4 against the Bolts on Sunday?
I think they can. I mean, you tell me. Why can't they? I mean, at the end of the day, I like the over. You're going to think I'm nuts, but I love the over in terms of that matchup. I think both defenses give up a ton of yards, and at the end of the day, I think Seattle could be live with 5 points. 50.5 seems high, but they could get into the 60s. Could look like a Big 12 football game.
It is the highest total of the weekend, Joe, but I don't think you're crazy. The Seahawks are the second worst scoring defense in the National Football League, or at least were entering last week, and that's why the Cardinals struggling offensively was such a big worry. They only scored 9 points against the Seahawks team that gives up a ton of them. And the Chargers are not great defensively either, Joe. They had played 3 straight overs prior to Monday Night Football. That stayed under against the Broncos, but they can score as well. And the line is working in favor of Seattle. Joe, it's a very interesting thing in the NFC West this weekend, especially considering what the Niners have done entering Week 7 to get Christian McCaffrey. All or 3 of the 4 teams entering were at 3-3. even 500. The Cardinals winning on Thursday night, now 3-4, but still a half game behind. There's an idea with the Rams being off, Joe, that just because LA is not playing, they might end the weekend as the top team in the division, because San Francisco, an underdog against Kansas City, Seattle, an underdog against LA. That does it for us here this week on Football Full Circle. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. You have been listening all week long and today on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Keep it locked right here, all across the grid. Sirius XM Channel 159. We bring you the best in the industry. Have a great weekend.